Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's Dharma Talk is entitled Kempo Carter Rinpoche's Six Perfections, Generosity, by Lama Kathy Wesley. The path of wisdom and compassion has many practices, all of which increase our inner motivation toward benefiting others and decrease our selfishness. Using lectures by her teacher, Kempo Carter Rinpoche, as a guide, Lama Kathy introduces the six paramitas, or perfect virtues, that help us along the Buddhist path. The first of these virtues is generosity. By giving ourselves to others, we learn how to let go of our own interest and see the world through others' eyes. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karma Teksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Good afternoon to all my friends on YouTube. So thanks very much for being with us today. Today's 1 p.m. Columbus KTC Dharma Talk is on the topic of Kempo Carter Rinpoche's Six Perfect Virtues teachings. A number of years ago, Kempo Rinpoche gave a talk at our home monastery at Karmatriya Dharma Chakra in Woodstock, New York, on the teachings of the Six Perfect Virtues. And he tried to show us how we can use these virtues in everyday life and in our Dharma practice also. So anyway, so thanks to everybody for being here. And I'm going to start with a short prayer. If this is a prayer with which you are familiar, it's the four-line refuge prayer. If it's a prayer with which you're familiar, you can kind of join in. But if it's a prayer with which you are unfamiliar, you can join in your heart and in your mind, thinking that you dedicate this time to the betterment of yourself and all sentient beings. O Sanje Chedan Zuji Chonam La Changchu Bardu Dani Kyapsu Chi Daji Chin Soji Pe Sunam Ki Drola Pinchir Sanje Druparsho. Prayer of the Four Immeasurables. May all beings be happy and have the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May they have that great happiness, which is freedom from suffering. May they dwell in great equanimity, free from attachment and aversion to those near and those far. O Palden Sawe Lama Rinpoche, Dagi Chi Or Pe De Ten Chula, Kadren Jembo Kone Jason Te Kusun Tugging a Drup Sal Huso. Okay, thanks very much. Once again, welcome. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how to become more kind and loving people. And it would be really great if there were a step-by-step way to become a more kind and loving person, because when we're out and in the world, it's kind of a free-for-all. There's a lot going on out there in the big, wild world. And it's really hard sometimes to feel compassion for ourselves and to feel love and compassion for others. And so in the Buddha's teachings, particularly his teachings on the Mahayana, he gave step-by-step instructions about how a person can become a better and kinder, more loving person with themselves and more kind and loving with others. The main teachings he gave on this are called the development of bodhicitta. Bodhi means awakening, meaning that we're awakened from this sleep of ignorance of our interconnectedness, the sleep of ignorance of our own potential awakening to Buddhahood. And once we're under the sleep of that ignorance, lots of difficulties arise. And so this is what we're praying for. We're asking for is for liberation from these states of confusion. And so when we make our prayers and aspirations, we ask that that we develop qualities and skills that will help us to be kind and loving in our own lives and kind and loving in the lives of others. So Bodhi is that awakening. And citta is the mind, because the mind is where everything happens. The mind is where we make our good habits. The mind is where we make our bad habits. The mind is where we actually live. All of our life is lived in our minds. Yes, there are objects out there. There's a tree out there. There's a squirrel out there. Anyway, there are all of these things out there. But how we experience those things is with our mind. And so since our mind is the seat of our experience, then if we want to work with our experience, we learn how to work with the mind. And so Bodhi citta is what we train in, the mind of awakening, the mind that is moving toward awakening. And so how do we move toward awakening? By training in Bodhi citta. So of the two kinds of bodhicitta, aspiration and action, the aspiration bodhicitta is explained in Shantideva's book, the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, also translated as The Way of the Bodhisattva. And in this book, Shantideva says that if we want to become a bodhisattva, a person who has the mind of Bodhi, we need to begin by aspiring to it. And this is why we often begin with what's called the bodhisattva vow. Taking the bodhisattva vow, we say to the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha, we say in their presence these three jewels of our refuge. We say, from now until enlightenment is reached, I take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Just as the Buddhas of the past have generated the bodhicitta and practiced stage by stage to accomplish the bodhisattva path, so too will I generate bodhicitta, and I will train stage by stage, and as they did, I will become proficient. So once we've taken the bodhisattva vow of aspiration, aspiring to be free from this cycle of suffering that the Buddha called samsara, once we make that aspiration to be free from samsara, then we have to follow it up with action that helps us to actually become free. If you remember the teaching on the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said suffering is part of life. It has a cause, it has a solution, and there's a path. In the second of the Four Noble Truths, he says the cause of suffering is clinging and fixation. We think of this world as a dual place where we are sort of in danger always of losing our happiness and not being able to get happiness. And so it's always a dualistic struggle to get what we want and stay away from what we don't want. And this cyclic existence of suffering causes us a great deal of difficulty. But of all the things we cling to people, we cling to places, we cling to ideas, of all the things we cling to, it's our self-concept that we cling to the most. And when we cling to our self-concept, sometimes what happens is it's not just enough to take good care of ourselves. We want to take good care of ourselves, but sometimes we go even farther than that and begin to feel that we deserve more than other people have. And when we start to believe that we are somehow special and different and deserve to have more than other people have, then we spend a lot of time trying to overcome other people. I don't know if any of you saw His Eminence Thaisi Trimbache's Dharma talk this morning from India, but he gave a marvelous summation of what human beings' situation is. He said we have the potential to wake up and to see our own Buddha nature, but because we don't see our Buddha nature, we are busy trying to overpower the world. We try to overpower each other in our families. We try to overpower each other in our politics. We try to overpower each other in our whole lives. And so he was saying that the way of the Buddha is the way of generosity and peace. Now, a lot of you I know are very concerned about the situation in our country right now with the COVID pandemic bearing down on us the way it is, and the government having, you know, grave difficulty trying to put things together that people need. And so it's very tempting these days to begin to try to overpower people who disagree with you. But the Buddha was saying that basically it is hard on our body, and it's hard on our speech, and it's hard on our mind when we fight and fight and fight and fight and spend all of our time fighting, so that we have to find a different way to be within ourselves. And this way of being within ourselves is the way of bodhicitta, love and compassion. And so the two kinds of bodhicitta, aspiration is the first kind that we talked about just now, aspiring to become awakened for the benefit of others. And then action bodhicitta are the actions that help us combat dualism, help us combat selfishness, help us combat arrogance, help us combat fighting. It helps us combat all of these things. And these are often described as the six perfect virtues. The six perfect virtues are a way of talking about the skills we need to acquire to become real bodhisattvas. So the first of these skills is generosity. If we are generous, this helps us to let go of our selfishness and helps us to connect to others in a genuine way on the level of, hi, I'm a human being, I need these things, and I think you need these things too. So why don't we just be human beings together? Why don't we just get along? Why don't we just work together on things? And so that's generosity. And that leads to the second of the perfect virtues, which is ethics and morality. When we treat other people with respect and dignity, then what happens there is that we develop a trustworthiness. People, when we're stable in our minds and in our demeanor, when we're stable, kind, and loving, people begin to trust us. And then we have the capacity to build on the generosity that we've shown them by showing them moral behavior. And then after moral behavior comes the practice of patience, which was what we discussed first in the first of our lectures on this topic. Once we practice generosity, it's easy to be ethical. Once we practice generosity and ethics, it's easy to be patient, because we come to understand that other people have just as much trouble being human beings as we do. They have just as much pain. They have just as much suffering. They have just as much difficulty in their lives. And by understanding their sameness, that they are just like us, we can become more patient with them when they act out, more patient with them as they try to figure out what it is to be a human being. And if we practice generosity, it's easy to be ethical. And if we practice ethics and generosity and ethics, it's easy to be patient. And if we practice patience, then the fourth of the perfect virtues, diligence, is very easy. We need to be diligent in our aspiration and action, bodhicitta, because if we're diligent in our application and action, bodhicitta, we can actually begin to change how we see and feel around the world. Sometimes you can say, oh, I want to be a better person, but we don't follow it up with action. So if we can follow it up with action and be diligent in our meditation practice, then we will develop the other part of bodhicitta, which is wisdom. So practicing generosity, ethics, and patience and diligence, then meditation becomes very easy. We can practice meditation knowing that by quieting the mind and bringing about a sense of serenity to our inner lives, by bringing serenity to our inner lives, we can begin to really, really change at the very deepest levels and really, really see how our thoughts arise. And as our thoughts arise, how our prejudices and biases arise. And as we see our prejudices and biases, we can begin to take action on them. So meditation and mindfulness is the fifth of these perfect virtues. And the sixth perfect virtue is wisdom. And wisdom could be seen as being the outcome of practicing generosity and ethics and patience and diligence and meditation. It can be seen, wisdom can be seen as the product of that. But wisdom can also be seen as that which makes the action perfect. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. But wanted to let you know I am sharing, the teaching I'm sharing comes from Kempo Kartha Rinpoche, who gave a teaching on the six perfect virtues at our home monastery at Karma Triana Dharma Chakra in 2014. So we talked about patience first because it seemed to be a topic that we all need a little extra help with right now. But I thought it would be good for me to go back and to read the notes from Rinpoche's teachings on generosity and the other virtues as well. So he bases his teaching on Gampopa's 12th century text, the Jewel Ornament of Liberation. Here's a copy of the Jewel Ornament of Liberation. And I'll put in the comment section on Facebook after the talk, I'll put a copy of the name and how you can get the book from our bookstore at KTD Monastery. In Gampopa's book, The Jewel Ornament of Liberation, he talks about the practice of the six perfect virtues in a very stair-step fashion. He says, first of all, he said, generosity is listed as the first of all and the foundational of all the perfect virtues, because for many of us, it's the easiest thing to practice, because human beings, for some reason, seem to really like being kind. I know that we often these days see just the bad sides of human beings, their pettiness and their jealousies and their anger and their fighting. But at heart, we know that it's not easy to be a human being in the world. And because we know it's not easy to be a human being in the world, we want people to succeed and be happy in life. We want that for ourselves and we want it for others. And this kindness really, really helps. Here's what Kenpo Karsa Rinpoche had to say about it. He said, it is essential, he said, for us when we are practicing this generosity to be as authentic and genuine as possible. He says that sometimes when people give, they give from a position of superiority. They think, oh, I am a great person and I am bestowing this on somebody else. He said it's very important for us to examine our motivation for giving and how we view the recipient of our gifts and find a way to uplift both our sense of who is receiving the gift and to uplift our sense of ourselves, meaning that we try to give from the most genuine way as we can give. And Kempo Karsa Rinpoche says one of the ways to develop this genuineness in giving is to think about it beforehand. He said, think that you are giving something, but you're also giving away all of the virtue that comes to your mind. You're thinking, I give you this object, I give you this thing, but I also give you all of the goodness that is accomplished by giving. Because as you know, the Buddha's teaching says that when we think, say, or do things, it makes an impression on us. You could call that a karmic impression. And that conditions our mind, either with virtue for positive karma or non-virtue for negative karma. The more positive things we do, the more our mind is pacified, the more our mind is tamed, the more serene our mind becomes, the more virtue that we do. And generosity is a virtue. So when we practice generosity, a benefit comes to our mind. But Kempo Rinpoche is saying that we have to remember that this benefit that's coming to our mind, we also need to give that away as well, so that we're not clinging to some sense of reputation, like, oh, I'm going to be a great giver and I'm going to have lots of good virtue in my mind stream because I'm such a good giver, which then allows our selfishness to co-opt even our generosity. So Rinpoche says it's a good place to start from to remember that you're doing generosity for the benefit of yourself and others, and to give away not just the object, but all the virtue that goes with it. He said, at first, we can't practice perfect generosity because our generosity is not fully imbued by wisdom, partly because we're not enlightened beings yet. But once we become enlightened beings, wisdom will completely fill and imbue all of our actions, thoughts, and words. But until then, He said, we have to practice generosity as best we can. He said, our practice of generosity right now is not actually suffused with wisdom, but we can try to make it as pure as we can. He said, by doing several things. He said, we have to give the appropriate thing in the appropriate way to the appropriate person at the appropriate time. And he says, appropriate giving is giving that which is helpful to people. He said, there are examples of inappropriate giving. And he gave one in the lecture. He said, if you give money to a child so that they can use it to buy bait fish and hooks and tackle boxes and so they can go and kill fish, he said, that's probably not the right thing to give. So he said, you were being generous in giving the fishing kit to the child, but you didn't examine the situation completely. You didn't see the action, the effects of that action down the road, causing the child to become a fish killer, which I guess is, you know, it's something a lot of us learned as children, but not all of us took to. So we have to give the right thing to the right person at the right time. And then we also have to give with a sense of respect. We are respecting ourselves, we're respecting the person we're giving to, and we're giving with kind and gentle words. Now, there are different kinds of things that we can give. We can give material generosity by giving resources to those who are in need. This should be motivated by a sincere wish to help. This includes giving sponsorship to Dharma people and help to Dharma centers. He said the results of material generosity when you give to people who have no shelter, who have no proper resources, clothing, food, and so on, when you give to people, he said you can, this will help you to forge good relationships, both with beings that you can see and beings that you can't see. He said beings see, who we see and don't see, like and appreciate generosity. You gain affection and allegiance of human beings and non-human beings. I mean, how many of us have shown kindness and love to animals, for example, and shown kindness and love to others? And so the idea is that we can get the affection and cooperation of human and non-human beings through generosity. And then if we practice generosity, we will pacify the enmity of those who wish to harm us. Kempo Kartha Rinpoche said, usually we try to protect ourselves from enemies using some kind of violence or force. But he said, this is non-virtue and it never really works as we intend it to. He said, for every enemy we destroy in one way or another, more enemies just spring up in their place. But on the other hand, if we practice generosity instead of violence, it's a different outcome. Instead of destroying the enemy, what we really destroy is the enmity, the ill will and bad feelings. And so I remember the bumper sticker by His Holiness, of the quote from His Holiness Dalai Lama, which I like so much. And it said, I destroy my enemies by making them my friends. And I think that it's a really powerful statement and something that we can remember. Now, you might say, how do we give to people who want to harm us? We can't just walk up and hand them something. It doesn't quite work that way. And you would be right if you were to say that. You'd be right. But there are actual meditation practices that you can do to imagine that you are giving gifts to those who want to harm you. I remember a number of years ago, Kempo Kartha Rinpoche got a letter from a person who said that they were being troubled by a demon. And they asked Rinpoche, well, how can I protect myself from this demon? And Kempo Rinpoche said, well, you have to understand, first of all, Kempo Rinpoche asked me, does this person believe in demons? And I said, yes, I really feel, based on the letter that they were writing, that they really believe in them. And he said, okay, he said, so let's do this. He said, take a letter. And I took the letter. And he said, if you feel that you're being harmed by a demon, here's what you do. He said, imagine that that being is in front of you. And then he said, imagine that above your head is the Buddha, and that the and that you pray to the Buddha not to protect you from the bad person, but to protect both you and the person that you're in conflict with. Because Rinpoche said, tell the person that it is obvious that if they're being troubled by someone in this life, it is possible that in a previous life, the two people or two beings had a negative relationship where the person now feeling the victimization and suffering was in the past an aggressor and in the past harmed the other being. And so now the other being is coming back to collect what Rinpoche called a karmic debt. And so since the person thinks you owe them something, think that this person or being that you're in conflict with is in front of you. Pray to the Buddha to protect both you and the person whom you're in conflict with. And then he said, create an imaginary gift in your mind. And in that imaginary gift, you place everything you have, everything you own, all of your merit, all of your goodness, all of your reputation, whatever you feel is yours, you put it in this imaginary gift, and then you send it through your imagination and imagine that the other being receives it, and that when they receive it, they feel satisfied and happy. And he said, it is cruel to hit an animal, he said. And if you hit a dog, for example, he said, that dog will never be your friend. But and if instead you give the dog some treats, slowly they will become your friend. And so this act of imaginary generosity to those that we feel in conflict with can often help to diffuse the enmity that comes from negative relationships. And so I think that this is what it makes me think of when I think of Rinpoche's quote. He says, with generosity, instead of destroying the enemy, you destroy the enmity that connects you. So he said that this generosity then will follow us into future lifetimes and help us with more resources in future lifetimes. He said, there are other things you can give besides material generosity. He said, you can give what's called fearlessness. Giving fearlessness, which is the second kind of generosity, giving material things is first, fearlessness is the second kind. And fearlessness means you offer protection to those who need it. You give shelter to those who need shelter. You give clothing to those who need clothing. You give food to those who need food. And most especially, you protect those whose lives are in danger. For example, you can give healthcare to a being who needs it. You can give safety to one animal that's being chased by another. You can protect children who are in danger. You can protect adults and aged ones who are in danger. In other words, by giving fearlessness means that you provide a physical source of safety and refuge for another being. Giving this protection, he said, is important because beings need this. He spoke about a situation once in which a person said to him, well, if another person is suffering, why should I get involved? That's their karma. And Rinpoche scolded the person, saying, never let the teachings of karma prevent you from practicing generosity and compassion in the moment to someone who's suffering. So he said, when you practice the generosity that is giving of protection, he said, this should have the motivation of love and compassion, especially when you're working with those who are in physical pain. He said, because when you're working with those who are in physical pain, actually, or mental pain, they're usually, he said, they're very impatient. When people are in pain, they're very impatient and they're very bristly. And he said, the translator actually used the word cranky. They get cranky. And this makes it challenging for those of us who are trying to help them. So this is the second kind of generosity, the generosity that's giving fearlessness. And then the third kind of generosity is the generosity of giving the Dharma. Now, Rinpoche said, even If you are not a learned person, he said, you can still give Dharma. Of course, the examples in the book have to do with people who are Dharma teachers, giving teachings on the Dharma, which again, they have to give the right teachings at the right time to the right people in the right fashion and so on. And so in order to practice the giving of Dharma, you have to make sure that when you give the Dharma as a teacher, that you're in a clean place and you use gentle words and so forth and so on. He said, your motivation when you give the Dharma has got to be correct. He said, if your motivation is not correct, like maybe you have the negative feeling that you want to teach somebody a lesson by speaking to them sharply and telling them they're doing a lot of bad karma and so forth and so on. He said, your motivation, if your motivation is not correct, you won't help others. And in fact, you'll hurt yourself because it will lead to you being proud and arrogant. He said, your giving of Dharma to others has to be motivated by compassion and not teaching somebody a lesson. He said, you're giving, when you give Dharma teachings to people, he said, you give information to free people from their pain and suffering and lead them gradually to the liberation of Buddhahood. Then he said, Dharma generosity is superior to material generosity because material generosity can only help people in this life, but Dharma generosity can help them in their future lives as well. And he said, even if you're not learned, you can really give Dharma to other people. He said, teaching the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, which is the way it's pronounced in Sanskrit, or Om Mani Padme Hum, which is the way that it's pronounced in Tibetan. It's basically a prayer praising the qualities of the Bodhisattva of compassion, Chenrezig, who is called the one who holds the jewel, which is Mani, and the lotus, which is compassion. So Padme. So Om Mani Padme Hum or Om Mani Padme Hum is the mantra, the name of Chenrezig, the Bodhisattva of compassion. And Kempo Rinpoche said that this mantra, which was given by Chenrezig himself, is so powerful that if you even recite it in the earshot of any sentient being, the sentient being who hears the mantra will actually be connected to the Bodhisattva Chenrezig. And if not in this lifetime, in a future lifetime, will come under the compassionate protection of Chenrezig, the Bodhisattva of compassion. And so Kempo Carter Rinpoche taught us that when we see animals that are injured, if it's safe to approach them, he said, you can get close to them and recite Om Mani Padme Hum to an injured animal and it will help them. And many of my Dharma friends have told me that as they're driving their car and they see injured or dying or dead animals along the side of the road, they will kind of do a little Dharma practice for the animal that they see. And they'll say, Om Mani Padme Hum, and make the aspiration that the animal has a connection with Chenrezig. So even if the animal doesn't hear the mantra, it's being dedicated to them. And so there is some benefit that will come to them in the future because we saw them and connected with them. So we don't have to be great masters like Rinpoche and so on in order to give the Dharma. We can give the Dharma by practicing our own meditation, by practicing our own kindness, love, and compassion. And this, in this way, we can actually make a Dharma connection for people that will happen in the future. Kempo Rinpoche said that another thing that we can give to others is our love. He said, when you say, oh, give your love to others, he said, it doesn't necessarily sound like much. But he said, giving love is very important. So when a person is giving Dharma, whether they're just talking to a friend or whether they're a teacher or so, or whatever, he said, they have to speak and act very gently. This gives others respect. And then the kind and gentle words please others and prevent them from becoming angry and resentful and cruel. We inspire others to act kindly and gently by our example. And he said, it is important that all teachers of Dharma have this demeanor, because beings will remember how you are, imitate that. And it reminds me of something that one of my teachers told me a long time ago. And this, I can't remember which tradition this comes from, but I think it's one of the Western psychological traditions, where the person said, a person may not remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. They may not remember what you say or said in the past, but they will remember how you made them feel. And I think this is incredibly important, because we're all human, and I'm human too, and I've made mistakes in this area before myself, where I've spoken sharply to someone that I was trying to make a point to, and it just didn't help. And not only did it not help, it actually caused the other person to feel terrible. And when that's been brought to my attention in the past, it like really makes me feel sad, because I think becoming a human being is so difficult, or trying to be a good human being is so difficult, because we want people to understand, we want to, but that wanting itself is an egotism, right? So wanting that person to get it is somehow egotism. And maybe it's better to stop short of making your point than it is to make the person feel like you're talking down to them, or like you're being critical of them, or worse yet, that you're being harsh toward them and judgmental toward them. So this is something that I'm still learning, and I hope that all of you will also keep this in your mind as you're going through your everyday lives, trying to make the place you come from be a place of love. Now, there is a way to make the generosity that you practice, make your generosity transcendent generosity. And one of the ways to do that is to try to come from a very pure place in your heart and mind when you're giving, and show respect to the other person and give in a kind way. Don't just toss something at them and say, here, be grateful. And one has to have that sense of kindness, but not just kindness. If Kempo Rinpoche was saying, we could make our generosity even better if we can add some of the Buddha's wisdom to the practice of generosity. And how we add some of the Buddha's wisdom to our practice of generosity with another person is we think, I am a sentient being, and my basic nature is emptiness and luminosity. I am giving to a person whose basic nature is emptiness and luminosity. And what I am giving is an object that has as its nature emptiness and luminosity. And that I am, you can actually say, in this giving, may there be no sense of me as a giver, you as a receiver, this is the object and this is the action. And so Rinpoche said, even if all you can do is say to yourself, no giver, no receiver, no object, no action. He said, even if that's the only type of wisdom that you can apply to your act of generosity, he said, it's excellent to try to do this. And at first, this will feel very clumsy, and probably it'll feel a little fake. But by the same token, it is an improvement over thinking, I, who am a great person, am giving this wonderful thing to you who are below me. You see, what we practice in our minds is what develops in ourselves. And so if we can practice generosity from this point of view, I think it's really helpful. So that's what Kempo Rinpoche had to teach about the transcendent virtue of generosity. During our next Dharma talk, we'll talk about moral ethics and discipline. And this will give me an opportunity to talk about the 10 perfect virtues. I'm sorry, 10 perfect virtues, the 10 virtuous actions, the 10 non-virtuous actions, and how we can cultivate good relationships with others through cultivating good moral discipline. Before we close for today, I want to encourage everyone to practice meditation every day if you can. Even if all you can do is sit quietly and meditate for just a short time and dedicate the goodness of that to all beings, it's going to really help us all. If you have questions about the talk today, you can write them to me at Lama Kathy, LamaKathy, Lama Kathy at columbusktc.org. And you can send them by email, or if you're on Facebook and watching this on Facebook Live, you can just write your questions in the comments, and I'll spend a little bit of time after the Dharma talk today answering your questions. Immediately after I do that, I'm going to go back on live again to do another episode in the series on the 37 actions of a bodhisattva, or the 37 practices of a bodhisattva. It'll maybe be about a 5 to 10 minute Dharma talk, also on Facebook Live over on the 37 practices of a bodhisattva Facebook page. Did you know there was one? That's kind of interesting, right? Made it a long time ago, wasn't sure why, and then now it comes in handy. So I'll be doing that shortly. So let's sit quietly for just a moment and practice a little bit of quiet sitting. Placing our body in the posture of meditation, whether we're sitting on the floor or sitting in a chair. We place our hands palm downward on the tops of our legs. We make the mental motivational statement, I'm going to practice meditation for the next few minutes for the betterment of myself and others. Having set our motivation, our excellence at the beginning, we then practice the excellent in the middle, which is the technique of meditation. We take one deep breath, breathe out, and then allow the breath to come and go naturally. Placing our attention on the breath as it comes in and goes out. And now we'll do a short compassion meditation. This is based on Kempo Carter Rinpoche's teaching in his book, Dharma Paths, in the chapter on the path of the Bodhisattva. As you breathe out, think that as you breathe out, your virtue, merit, and goodness go forth from you and touch all of the beings in the world. Just as when sunlight comes across the horizon at dawn, it fills every quarter of the universe. We think that with our out-breath, we give instantly happiness and goodness to all beings. As we breathe in, we think we remove all of the suffering and difficulty from sentient beings. As we imagine all of this suffering coming to us, it leaves them and they're freed from it. And as that suffering enters us, it meets our bodhisattva motivation, it dissolves into nothing and disappears. And then with the out-breath, once again, we give goodness to beings. With the in-breath, we remove their suffering, which dissolves into nothing and disappears. So we'll practice this sending and receiving practice for just a short time. Well, think of all those around the world who are in need and give them everything they need. Then to conclude the meditation, we let go of the visualization and let our mind rest quietly within itself for just a few moments in a place where there is no meditator, there are no beings to be saved, and there is no act of saving beings. There's just quiet awareness. Practicing excellence at the end, we dedicate our goodness to all sentient beings. We dedicate the goodness both from this chat we've had a chance to have today, and also all of the goodness that we've accomplished in this lifetime and all past lifetimes and will accomplish in all future lifetimes. We dedicate it to the enlightenment and benefit of all sentient beings. I'll recite the short prayer in English. Through this merit, may all achieve the omniscience of Buddhahood. May it defeat our common enemy, wrongdoing. From the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara, may we free all beings. May we free all beings. May we free all beings. Thanks, everybody. See you next week, where we'll be talking about the teachings on morality and ethics. Take really good care and stay safe out there. Wear your mask, okay? And wash your hands. Okay, Om Mani Padme Hum.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.